In this half-hour segment, we're going to begin a discussion of the current state of French fascism as exemplified by the status and performance of the Front National, the Front National, or National Front in France. That's headed up by Jean-Marie Le Pen, last name capital L-E, capital P-E-N. This is a French fascist organization which is the heir to the Vichy fascist collaborationist government of World War II that has been in the headlines relatively recently, speaking now in the beginning of November of 1997. This in connection with some of the French reexamination of their role, their performance during World War II, in which much of France actively collaborated with the Nazis after French democracy and even the French military resistance was subverted by a fifth column, French fascists who were in positions of power and were far more sympathetic to German fascism than they were to the Social Front of Léon Blum. I'm going to read a very important article from Harper's Magazine's issue of October of 1997 entitled Fascism a la Mode. And in that particular article, we're going to take a look at the National Front, or Front National, of Jean-Marie Le Pen. We're going to take a look at its electoral tactics, its strategic tactics, its ideology. We're going to look at its origins with Nazi and Gestapo collaborators from World War II, the point being, under the circumstances, that there is continuity from the French fascism of the World War, pre-World War II and World War II period right on up through the present. When one examines the National Front, one should understand that its roots are with the fascists of the World War II period. In particular, I want listeners to this program to note many of the similarities in terms of ideological strategy and political rhetoric between the French fascists, again with their roots firmly planted in the fascist collaborationist regime of World War II, and the Republican Party in the American right today. In particular, look for similarities between the National Front and some of the tactics and strategies of the Christian right wing in the United States. In particular, take a look at similarities between the political agenda of the National Front and the political agenda of the Republican Party as exemplified by Newt Gingrich and company. Indeed, the Republican Party of the United States, as we examined in a miscellaneous archive show entitled Nazis and Anti-Semites on the George Bush campaign. We also looked at that in the September 6th, 1992 installment of RFA 37, How the U.S. Lost the Second World War. We've also examined this in connection with John Loftus, in an interview with John Loftus about his book, The Secret War Against the Jews. We've also examined this in connection with the third interview that I did, I believe it was the third interview with Martin Lee, the author of The Beast Reawakens, a vitally important recent book about the reemergence of fascism. In all of those archival references, I discussed the Republican Ethnic Outreach Council, which is really a Nazi wing of the Republican Party of the United States, which is composed of Central and Eastern European fascist collaborationist veterans, many of them war criminals or affiliated with organizations like the Ukrainian or Latvian SS. And it is literally a Nazi wing of the Republican Party with its roots firmly planted in the fascism of the World War II period and the Third Reich. So it should not really be all that surprising to see a major political party in the United States affiliated with many of the big business and national security interests that were sympathetic to fascism and which has incorporated a significant element of Central and Eastern European fascism into its ethnic outreach council. It should not be surprising to see a similarity between, see many similarities between a party like that and the National Front in France, a fascist political party, again, with its roots firmly planted in the fascism of the World War II period and the Vichy collaborationist regime. But in particular, as I said, pay attention to similarities between the National Front, which our press will more or less readily admit is extremely reactionary, and the Republican Party, which is portrayed, unfortunately and incorrectly, as being respectable. The following article, again, is from the issue of Harper's Magazine from October of 1997. Research credit on this goes to a listener. This article is entitled Fascism a la Mode, and subtitled In France, The Far Right Presses for National Purity. It's by an expatriate American journalist named David Zane Meyerowitz, Meyerowitz. He lives in Avignon in France and is described as follows in a note to the article. David Zane Meyerowitz is the author, with Robert Crumb, of Introducing Kafka, a biography in cartoons. His radio opera, The Voluptuous Tango, recently won the Prix Italia. Again, this is an American artist and journalist who lives in Avignon, France. And he wrote the following article, once again, for people that are taking notes and not taping. This is from Harper's Magazine from October of 1997. It's entitled Fascism a la Mode, subtitled In France, the Far-Right Presses for, quote, National Purity, unquote. Those quotes are mine. The author again, David Zane Meyerowitz, Meyerowitz. The article begins, Last May, on the night of the first round of nationwide French elections, I left my Avignon apartment, turned a corner, and headed down the Rue Severine toward the local headquarters of Jean-Marie Le Pen's far-right National Front Party. By the way, Severine is S-E accent aigu, V-E-R-I-N-E. Continuing, Le Pen's group had just won 24% of the Avignon vote, over twice what it needed to qualify for the runoff round a week later, but nowhere near enough to allow for hopes of victory. And I was curious to see what mood the party faithful were in. Normally, the headquarters are easy to miss. There is no sign on the door, no posters or stickers on the window, and not even a bell, only a seemingly empty, anonymous storefront. In part, this is attributable to the astonishing paranoia of Le Pen and his cronies, who see themselves as beleaguered and marginalized, fighting a war of resistance against the strains of impurity that would sully France. But there are practical reasons for their concern as well. Although popular throughout the South, and growing ever more so, the Front still has plenty of detractors, and some of them don't mind throwing bricks through windows. Tonight, however, there were no bricks, and there was certainly no missing the place. As soon as I rounded the corner, I could see people spilling out onto the sidewalk. People I knew. My local mechanic was there, and the boulangerie woman, that means bakery in France, beginning again, in French, excuse me. My local mechanic was there, and the boulangerie woman, and enough of my neighbors that it took some time to get through all the bonsoirs and small talk required of me. Were these people the neo-fascists I had come to fear as the Front swept town after town in the South? Were they brown shirts? No. Just the shopkeepers and skilled workers you'd expect to find in any small European town. They were good people, decent and well-meaning, legitimately concerned about their future, if perhaps not fully aware of the historical implications of a Front victory. Note in particular the fact that many of the people who supported the National Front here are not brown shirts. They're not particularly venal or bad people. And this might be the single most important element of this particular article, that when fascism succeeds, it does so necessarily by appealing to a relatively large section of the population and by calling up emotional or ideological issues which can excite the interests and affection of people who are not brown shirts or necessarily bad people. That is how fascism succeeds when it does, and it is my conviction that fascism is in the process of succeeding worldwide, and that barring a drastic reversal of worldwide political fortunes, what the world is going to see in the next quarter of a century is the triumph of the forces that were represented by Hitler and Mussolini in World War II, but which by no means went away with the ostensible defeat of the Third Reich and fascism in World War II. On the contrary, the roots that nourished Hitler and Mussolini and the governments that they headed remained in place, and they are sprouting and blooming once again. Continuing, speaking of the National Front headquarters, Meyerowitz writes, Inside, they were celebrating. The Front's candidate, a man by the very unworking-class-sounding name of Thibaut de la Tocnaille, and the victim of countless Hitler mustaches drawn on his campaign posters, had no chance at all in the next week's runoff, but the party was sensing victory nonetheless. That man's name, by the way, Thibaut, small D-E, capital L-A, capital T-O-C-N-A-Y-E. Resuming, for de la Tocnaille, he was about to do locally what Le Pen had candidates positioned to do across the nation. He was going to spoil the election for the conservatives. Note that. One of the tactics of the National Front in the recent French election was to spoil the election for the conservatives. Continuing. By staying in the race, de la Tournai and his compatriots would split the right-wing vote and force a socialist victory. In the short run, such a tactic would weaken the right. But in the long run, the front would benefit from the destruction of the centrist obstacle in its path, specifically Jacques Chirac and those legislators rallied around him. Le Pen had made no secret of his hatred for Chirac, and in a week's time he would have cause for glee. Chirac would lose his majority, and although the front would take only 15% of the national vote and win but one parliamentary seat, its future would be brighter than ever before. By the way, remember this tactic of splitting the right-wing vote in order to defeat the conservatives, eventually to supplant them. We're going to see a similar drift among some of the fascist sympathizers in the Bund of Vertriebene and the SS-founded Witteko-Bund, one of the Vertriebene groups in Germany that was founded by the SS and which aims to return the Sudetenland and much of the rest of the Czech Republic to Germany. This is a tactic that is being employed by a number of different fascist parties around the world. Continuing. On June 2nd, the morning after the election's final round, I opened my International Herald Tribune and was greeted by the optimistic headline, France's Left Turn. Fair enough, but over the next few days, the media seemed to lose sight of the fact that the turn was made by an extremely right-wing backseat driver. In the post-vote autopsy columns provided by the national daily Libération, for example, the front was being considered almost as great a loser as Chirac, and some commentators were even predicting that we had seen the last of the neo-fascists. In fact, most of the French newspapers stuck to the same easily digestible story. Victorious left crushes never-to-be-seen-again right, and did not worry over what the ability to decide a national election implied about the front's future. Such is the view of the Paris-based journalist. But I live in Avignon, and in Avignon, we know better. The front isn't finished. In fact, it's getting stronger. We're going to talk about how the National Front is getting stronger in just a second. I wanted to interject for the examination and consideration of the listener a small article which was carried in the San Francisco Examiner of Tuesday, October 7th of 1997. This is a story by Reuters. It's datelined Marseille, France, and the National Front is particularly strong in the south of France, and one of the largest southern French cities is, of course, the very important port city of Marseille. This article, again, a Reuters story from the San Francisco Examiner of Tuesday, October 7th of 1997. Specifically, it is on page A2 of that edition of the Examiner. This article is entitled, quote, "Suicide," unquote, "requires five shots." It reads, "A French politician apparently shot himself five times to commit suicide, according to a state prosecutor. An autopsy showed that the body of André Isoardo, Isoardo, 54, had five bullet wounds. Four of them could not have caused him to lose consciousness, but the fifth was lethal, prosecutor Jacques Baume said Monday." That's capital B-A-U-M-E. "One of the 9mm bullets scraped Isoardo's stomach, and three others entered the wrist, groin, and throat. The lethal shot was fired into the mouth through the brain. Baum said that all elements pointed to a suicide, including a letter in which Isoardo bade his brother farewell. But he said the bullet fired through the right wrist had not been recovered, leaving a question mark hanging over the death of Isoardo, who was right-handed. A former member of the far-right National Front, he had recently been elected regional secretary of the small rightist CNI party in Vitrolles," that's capital V-I-T-R-O-L-L-E-S. Well, note that the late unfortunate Mr. Isoardo, I-S-O-A-R-D-O, again, was found dead of five bullet wounds. He was a former member of the National Front who had been elected regional secretary of a small right-wing party, the CNI party in Vitrolles. This, to me, sounds like a rather incomplete forensic examination, and I'm deliberately understating this. Guy's shot five times, okay? The bullets, now suppose you're trying to commit suicide. Are you going to begin by firing a shot that's going to scrape your own stomach, three others that enter the wrist, groin, and throat, and then finally shoot yourself in the mouth and through the brain. I would say that another reasonably viable alternative interpretation of this information was that somebody killed him, perhaps after either forging or forcing the writing of an alleged suicide note, and that would explain the particular wounds. One of the questions I have is whether perhaps as a former member of the National Front, now competing with the National Front, he was terminated with extreme prejudice, as they say, because of that. And as we'll see, capturing city governments, municipal governments, throughout the French countryside, in the south of France in particular, is vital to the National Front strategy. Again, I'm extremely skeptical about this five-bullet suicide, with the bullets having scraped the stomach, entered the wrist, groin, and throat. He was right-handed. He fired a bullet through his right wrist. Very strange suicide. I think a finding of murder would be a little more reasonable under the circumstances. But again, note that particular death. I wonder whether perhaps he was viewed as presenting something of a threat or a dissident element for the National Front. Returning again to the article Fascism a la Mode from Harper's Magazine's issue of October of 1997. Now and then, my son and I go out with a set of scraping tools and attempt to remove the front stickers that clutter the lampposts and street sign throughout our neighborhood. Mère propre, tête haute, hands clean, head high, they read, both proclaiming and appealing to the latest wave of French disgust with government corruption. The tactic has been effective, if somewhat hypocritical. Last February, in the southern industrial city of Vitrolles, okay, that's the same city that Mr. Izuardo was found dead in. Last February, in the southern industrial city of Vitrolles, the party toppled the socialist mayor, currently under investigation for fiscal impropriety, and replaced him with Catherine Maigret, M-E-G-R-E-T, the wife of front bigwig Bruno Maigret, who was himself disqualified from running for having overspent the legal limit on campaign funding. Although largely an unknown quantity, she cannot as yet be accused of corruption herself, and this is what counts most in the local context. Again, note the dissatisfaction on the part of the French electorate with corruption on behalf of politicians. This is something that obviously is hardly limited to France. And I think most political observers would at least nominally register disgust with political corruption. But note again the similarity between American reaction and the front national here, or the National Front. Portraying themselves, which is really ironic in light of the massive corruption the Republican Party has exhibited over the years, but portraying themselves as the party of morality and God-fearing Christian whatever, as opposed to the Democrats, who are in fact, although corrupt, they're far less so than the Republicans, and certainly are corruptible and have taken plenty of money under the table. For the Republican Party to be portraying themselves as the party of moral righteousness is grotesque indeed. But as a general consideration, and this is not only applies to France and the United States, but around the world, anti-politician politics is something to be observed. While there are some healthy elements in it, they'll be observed very carefully. While there are some healthy elements in anti-politician politics, it also can be very easily manipulated to generate popular sentiment for the man on the white horse, the national savior with a capital N and a capital S, who is going to set things straight. So watch out for this anti-politician politics and the claim to moral high ground by having clean hands and head high. It is a common disinformation tactic. It's something that people should observe very carefully and with a great deal of skepticism. Continuing. For decades, the Front has been denied access to the legislature, and its strategy has been instead to build a power base on the municipal level. In the summer of 1995, Front candidates won mayoral races in three fair-sized southern towns, Marignan, M-A-R-I-G-N-A-N-E, Orange, spelled like orange, and Toulon, capital T-O-U-L-O-N. If these people can stay out of prison, where a fair number of French mayors, especially here in the South, spend part of their retirement, there is hope that they may be able to gain a respectability that will allow them to infiltrate the national system from below. It is, after all, perfectly acceptable in France to hold a federal post and a mayorship simultaneously. The last prime minister was also the mayor of Bordeaux, and the Front's single parliamentary seat in this election was won by Jean-Marie Le Chevalier, the mayor of Toulon. Le Chevalier is capital L-E, capital C-H-E-V-A-L-L-I-E-R. Continuing. And so the game is played out on the local level. The Front intends to capture as many model cities as possible and drum up grassroots support. Hence the stickers covering everything in sight. Hence the alarmist handbill citing attacks on, quote, French, unquote, citizens by local, quote, Arabs, unquote, or, quote, blacks, unquote. Hence the doorbells rung by proselytizers, the youth clubs organized, the small three- or four-person cells that seek out new recruits. The Front has managed to make frightening progress with the military and police communities. It has even established a union, FN Police, to encourage their loyalty. In order to influence the national education agenda, the party is attempting to create its own parent-teacher association. By the way, I want to note here, elements of overlap between the tactics of the National Front and the Christian Right, which are in the United States, that is, which are the Christian Right, large elements of it anyway, are attempting to capture local state legislatures or state Republican parties, and are attempting to build a power base by infiltrating and co-opting and ultimately dominating local politics and working their way up from there. They also are, the American Right is also capitalizing on anti-immigrant sentiment, anti-minority sentiment, fear of crime, which overlaps heavily with the previous two, and as exemplified in a series of 8 half-hour segments that I did in 1996, entitled Specialized Knowledge and Abilities, fascist elements around the world are looking to help achieve power by appealing to and infiltrating the police and military, not only to co-opt those institutions, but to learn the specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote, with which to overthrow the democratic state. So again, note all of these similarities between the American reaction and the National Front as we proceed with the discussion. Note also the attempt to influence the educational process and the popular culture by engaging in what the Germans refer to as Kulturkampf, or culture warfare. Continuing. In other words, Le Pen and the Front do not for the moment need seats in Parliament. Towns will do just fine. In Paris, Le Chevalier will be hooted down, but in Toulon, he is king. When, last year, a group of booksellers invited the Polish-French author Marek Halter, H-A-L-T-E-R, to receive a special award at the Toulon Book Fair, Le Chevalier vetoed the notion, saying, quote, "He comes from Poland, is a naturalized French citizen, is in favor of immigration, and of imposing a cosmopolitan culture on France," unquote. Subtext, Halter is a Jew. Le Chevalier instead chose none other than Brigitte Bardot, whose memoirs are a bestseller in France, to receive the book fair's prize, although she refused the honor, apparently reasoning that her reputation had been tarnished enough by the very things that so impressed Le Chevalier. The string of racist remarks she made in public over the last few years, and the fact that her latest spouse, Bernard Dormal, Dormale, as a leading member of the Front and one of Le Pen's acolytes. In the end, the Toulon Book Fair resembled nothing so much as a National Front convention, with stalls devoted to the collected speeches of Maréchal Pétain, the 1958 right-wing putsch in Algeria, and books about Clovis I, the 5th-century king of the Franks, who united, quote, French, unquote, territory, and had become the party's unofficial patron saint. With a reversal of reality typical of Le Pen and his ilk, all of this was carried out in the name of, quote, pluralism, unquote, the idea being that with the media in the hands of, quote, internationalists, unquote, in case the reference is not clear, the party has at times employed the term télévision. The Front's viewpoint is underrepresented, if not outright censored. By the way, that obviously is a pun on television. It's the National Front corruption of it is capital T dash Levy, LE V Y hyphen S I O N, télévision. And again, obviously implying that there's Jewish control of French television. Continuing. Nor have the other Front mayors hesitated to heavy-hand their way into their constituents' cultural life. By the way, I would also note that elements of the American right wing are similarly lambasting not only the media, but Hollywood and some elements of trumpeted Jewish control over Hollywood and so forth, in a manner not unlike the tactics employed by the National Front. Continuing. Nor have the other Front mayors hesitated to heavy-hand their way into their constituents' cultural life. In Orange, Mayor Jacques Bompard decided that the public library would henceforth be directly answerable to the mairie, or town hall. By the way, Bompard, capital B-O-M-P-A-R-D. Suddenly, books that did not reflect front ideology began disappearing from the shelves, including works on the French Revolution. The sentiment Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité is anathema to the front. Collections of stories from North Africa, and any book with illustrations showing the races mixing. Also included, of course, were any works by authors known to be hostile to the party. The replacements? Henri Costant's The Financiers Who Control the World, Mysteries and Secrets of B'nai B'rith, the works of the Italian fascist Julius Evola, capital E-V-O-L-A, and the usual smattering of French Holocaust denial tomes being produced by the Negationist History Department at the University of Lyon. Note that Julius Evola has also become quite popular among American New Agers as well. It's not unusual to walk into stores specializing in, quote, spiritual, unquote, matters, note the quotes, and New Age matters in particular. And there's a book, I've forgotten its title offhand, but there's a Julius Evola title that has become quite popular among American New Agers. Hence, the cautionary notes that I have sounded in the past about some elements, note the use of the term elements, of, quote, New Age philosophy, unquote. And again, note the use of the term elements. I'm not implying that all or even most New Agers are prone to fascist influence, but some undoubtedly are, and that should be noted. Continuing. Although he lost his presidential bid and holds no political office, Le Pen is clearly the one giving the clues, or the cues, excuse me. Just after the elections, he announced that all grants to local non-profit cultural and educational groups within the front's jurisdiction would be, quote, reviewed, unquote. Note the Republican Party pressure on the National Endowment for the Arts, for example, by way of comparison. Continuing, since most aid of this sort occurs on the municipal level in France, and since many organizations, theater troupes, community centers, and the like simply cannot exist without public assistance, this was no small threat. But Le Pen's mayors did him one better. They eliminated virtually all grants to groups outside the Front's cultural and political sphere. Gone, or soon to be, were those groups run by the Front's political adversaries. Gone were the theater troupes and cinemas not sufficiently in line with the far right. And gone as well were those groups performing such apparently distasteful tasks as giving help and comfort to those dying of AIDS. And again, note similarities to the Kulturkampf being waged by elements of the Christian right right here in the United States. We're going to continue with an analysis of this article in our next half-hour segment. All of the half-hour segments that I've done, the various interviews that I've done, the weekly One Step Beyond shows that originate at my home base station, KFJC-FM, and also the archive shows as well, are available from a tape duplication service. That service is entitled Spitfire, one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. You can contact them at P.O. Box 1179, that's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address is A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, that's A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, at ix.netcom.com. Once again, email address, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, at ix.netcom.com. A list of and description of all of the programs available from Spitfire can be accessed on the KFJC webpage. Point your web browser at www.kfjc.org. Once again, www.kfjc.org, and look in the Public Affairs section for either Spitfire or yours truly. We'll continue with our analysis of this article from Harper's issue of October of 1997, Fascism a la Mode, in our next half-hour segment. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.